sugar on my tongue. I need your kisses, baby, gotta keep them coming.
Welcome back to KFAI Radio, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial community-powered radio. Welcome to 24 hours of Pride programming. It's been going on all day long. Thanks to Mitch for Eurovision Pride. What an amazing program. Next, we have Catching Up with Dex, and I'm excited about this one. Also, Lark is in the studio. And while they're getting situated, I'm going to go ahead and throw in a song from an artist I'm loving, Kalani. They are awesome with the song Folded. So let's get into it. And then we're going to get into Catching Up with Dex. And then also shout out to listener Barbara, who called in and said they really appreciated me holding it down most of the day today. I've been here since probably 5:30, I should say. So yes, and I am just so honored. So here we go. All right, we'll be back with Catching Up with Dex on KFAI's 24 Hours of Pride. We'll be back in a minute.
So silly of me to act like I don't need you back, when all I can think about is that since I seen you last, I know I didn't have to walk away. All I had to do was ask for space. I'm telling you, be on your way. When I told you to fall back, so can you come pick up your clothes?
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio. My name is Lark, and I am here this evening with Dex Santillan and Shimmer, who has been holding down 24 hours of Pride on KFAI. Shimmer, claps, full round of applause, cheers, kisses, all the things. Thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for having us. Dex, welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Here we are. Year three for me.
Yes.
Year three for me. Oh, thanks to Shimmer.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Shimmer's the one who introduced me to this and has strongly encouraged me to do it each year. And with each year, I have been able to share all the things I'm doing in the world.
All the things you're doing in the world.
All the things I'm doing in the world. And, you know, Shimmer's a large part of that. We've done a lot of things together, going to conferences, encouraging each other in our work, inspiring each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is an annual inspiration for me.
Ooh.
To kind of, you know, not kind of, but to talk about what's happened through the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many things have changed in 3 years. Like, every year I come on here, I'm like, wow, I'm in a completely different place.
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, year one, you came on and you were telling us about Dining with Dex.
Yes. Okay. So Dining with Dex was a community meal program I was doing,
mm-hmm.
Where we were meeting about bi-monthly for a season, and we would meet together, come together as a community. People were welcome. I would come and teach people how to do very simple meals, and we would cook them together. And if you weren't into cooking, you could just hang out in the kitchen. And it was about having conversations and just being together and sharing that meal together and having gratefulness and just being together and having space. And so I did that for a season. I thought we were going to do it a few more times, but, you know, life happens, things change. That's okay. Mm-hmm. No regrets. I'm so happy we had it for what we did. People still talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's what was going on with me the first year I was here on the show. So we talked about that.
And then year two, you came back to tell everybody that you are writing a book.
Correct. So year two, I was on here with Kenna Cotton.
Yeah.
Who I had, that was the first time I met her. And she
they are
was,
great.
Oh my gosh, they are, wow. Yeah, and have since gone to some of their events, and they're just, people know them. They're just have a very confident, easy, loving energy about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it makes it easy to be around them, and it's just lovely.
Yeah.
And they interviewed me about the book I started writing, that year, last year.
Yeah. Well, and now this year, you're on year three, and there's other things in the works, it sounds like, that we were going to talk about. So you're still working on the book. You're still, it sounds like, doing interviews, gathering research, living your own life experience that is still, like, leading up to this book that's going to be published. But now you told me that you have a new project that was inspired by 24 Hours of Pride. Tell us what that is.
Right. So if you listened to last year, I talked about the book and I talked about how it's easier for me to do more verbal stories and just have conversation. And it's always been more my strong point than writing. Actually, writing this book has been amazing because I've always struggled with writing my entire life, and school was very tough for me. And taking on that endeavor, I didn't feel overwhelmed. I actually felt really great about it. And like my writing's improved. It's become a daily journaling thing that's really lovely, and I've really been enjoying it. But what I noticed is that a lot of these things stemmed from these conversations I would have with people. And I was like, well, do I need to write this down or run and write it down, or do I want to be more verbal about it? And I was talking to Kenna about it at the end of my show last year. And Kenna goes, well, you know, Dex, you're on the radio. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you want to do a thing with, you know. And I was like, oh, I kind of do. And so Kenna just was like, I'm just saying, we're here. So, you know, we're a resource. And I was like, okay. And I really took that to heart.
Mm.
So, So that's what we're here to talk about today.
So KFAI... And the DJs here and all of the support that you have gotten from non-commercial community-powered radio is what has now helped you springboard into a new endeavor.
Correct.
That is so amazing.
What's even more amazing is, like, not everyone knows everyone. I know actually a lot more people who are KFI than I really realized. I actually have a lot of friends who have shows here. And I was like, oh, I kind of forgot you had a show here. Like, it's so strange. Shimmer's here, and then I met Kenna, and I have a friend, Mark Friedel, who has a blues show. He's been doing it for years and years, and all kinds of folks who have done stuff here for years. There's just a large history, or people I've known who've done stuff here before you. You know, Fresh Fruit, all the things. Like, that goes back. Like, I've done a few hosts on that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah.
So tell me, what is this new project that is based on storytelling, talking, connection, history, and the Twin Cities that you're working on?
Right. So initially, when I was talking with Kendall last year, I was really talking about how my book was about kind of based in, like, transitioning, taking hormones, that type of thing. But that's not what it was solely about, and it's been evolving. And what I'm really figuring out about myself through this process, it's really about just big things that I'm dealing with in that moment of my life. Mm-hmm. So what I'm finding myself doing is, when I'm journaling daily or when I'm having conversations with people, I'm intentionally talking about what I'm working through in the moment in my life.
Mm.
And so what I found is that's what I end up writing about. So it's not just, you know, about that. That's kind of what springboarded it. But it's not what it's all about. It's all these other topics. And then what I realized is there's a lot of history here in Minneapolis for me. So I've lived here 31 years.
Wow.
Okay. So this is like my 31st Pride.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah. And we're having the 50th year anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here for 31 of those.
Wow.
Right?
So you've seen a lot.
I've seen a lot. And I was realizing that and going to all kinds of different events and realizing how much the city's changed, how many different venues have come and gone, events, things all over. And I was like, you know what? We need to talk about that stuff.
Mm.
The evolution and just how important Minneapolis is to me and why I decided to stay here, especially not being here, being from here originally and ending up here accidentally and deciding to stay intentionally.
Yeah.
So with that, I was realizing, you know what? I know so many people who have so many amazing stories / important topics we need to talk about in general as humans, as queers, as whatever. It just affects us all. And I was like, I want to talk about that stuff. So I started interviewing people on things that I thought were important or who what drew me to them. Mm. Yeah. So it's just been evolving. So I've been interviewing friends and acquaintances and just people in community and asking them questions about history and their experiences with particular topics and things like that. So,
well, and when you say topics, we've already heard that you are not shy about talking about hormones. You're not shy about talking about transition. You're not shy about talking about brownness. You're not shy about talking about what it's like being perceived as a woman and having a masculine voice now. So what are some of the topics that you're planning on asking more questions about and diving deeper into having these like catch-up conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you about a couple of most recent ones I've had. I've actually been having lots of conversations with people about menopause.
Oh.
Right. Right. So there's this interesting place I'm at in my body where I've been on hormones for 4 years, this month, 4 years. But I'm at an age, I just turned 48, of this like transition in my body, right? So it's like the hormones have officially shut down my ovaries.
Mm.
And I have confirmation from my doctors. Yeah, things are quiet, nothing's going on. You're not having a cycle, you know. My brain is chemically changing, and I've felt it, and I feel it, and how I respond and think about things now. We talked about that last year. And just how my attitude has changed, and it's not all about the hormones. It's this, like, mix, because there are not official studies out, really, or, like, kind of documentation about people transitioning who are keeping their original, like, assigned parts and different things like that, and how that interacts and like what is actually happening, right? And I'm experiencing that, and I'm experiencing some of the things that, you know, as a woman I would experience going through menopause, like changes in my chemistry, my brain, and also like physical changes while simultaneously experiencing the testosterone being put on top of that.
Yeah.
And so I had a conversation with a close elder and community about that, and they're like, oh yeah, like my attitude changed when I started going through menopause. You know, it was just like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I need to do. Like, we just started having all these conversations, and I started having these similarities, and I was like realizing, oh, is this the testosterone? Is this the estrogen? Is this the combination? Is this just the time of life? Is this just about being older and having wisdom? Is it a combo platter? What is that? Mm-hmm. So talking about those kind of things, you know, and and folks don't openly talk about that stuff. And right, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, so my background as a sex educator, like, we don't even, like, talk, like, it's, like, the briefest of brief chapters of, like, oh, hey, this happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, when you're talking to teenagers and preteens about comprehensive sexuality education, it's, like, menopause is just, like, this far off in the future, after you have children, blah, blah, all the things that, like, the hetero world teaches. And now we're here going, oh, we're queer and trans and non-binary and fall under this, like, glorious rainbow umbrella. And what are our bodies doing? What is actually going to happen to me as I am aging in this body. So, yeah, that is a really intense and also not studied topic. So, wow. I love that you have an elder that you were able to talk to about that.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to a few about it.
Okay.
Who are my age or even decades older than me have gone through the process, you know, or well into it. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, just topics like that across the board. You know, history of Minneapolis, like I can tell you about all kinds of things we'll get to later about, you know, the things I've seen happen at, you know, Pride. You know, for me, a lot of big topics are men's health topics. And what I mean by that is, I've been really digging deep over the last few years of finding, like, trans mass community. And I've found some, but there's not, once again, there's no conversation about what's happening to my body. What am I doing? How do I want to represent myself as a trans mass person? What is my reasoning for doing this?
Yeah.
And like what I talked about last year, my intention was not to transition. My intention was is that I was feeling like I was missing something in my body. And so I wanted to have a little bit of a boost. The goal was never to transition for me. Mm-hmm. It was to feel better. Hmm. Well, if I was having conversations with someone before and someone told me, hey, you know what, maybe you're starting the process of menopause. Maybe I could have had some more information. Not saying that I regret my decision, but more information, because all my doctors are like, oh, you're technically fine. You're technically fine. I don't feel fine. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. That's why I want these conversations to happen. And even if not with me, I'm hoping that by me saying these things or popping off some information that it'll spur people to talk out in the world about whatever, right? Because not everyone's going to agree with me. And great. You don't need to agree with me. You don't need to agree about my point of view. But if it gets you talking about something that's important,
yeah.
Fantastic. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Let's bring these topics to the surface. Let's get comfortable with it.
Mm, yeah. Let's agree to disagree sometimes and figure out how to sit with that discomfort and sit with, ooh, what do I actually think about that? Because maybe I don't agree with this person's hot take. Maybe my like gut is like, ooh, that didn't feel so great. And I need to talk it out. And maybe that's not the person to talk it out with, but it did bring it to my brain of like, oh, this is something I need to think about. This is something that I need to work on. So as we're talking about transitioning, Shimmer, do you have a song maybe that Dex picked out for us? No, Dex, you didn't send Shimmer songs yet?
I didn't send Shimmer anything.
Shame.
I know, shame, right?
For shame. Because I thought that you picked out a whole bunch of local...
I did.
Twin Cities artists...
I did.
That you had met them at previous Twin Cities Prides. Is
I
that...
Actually, yeah, I have. Yeah. I could drop their names and we can maybe pull something up.
Oh.
So, I lived in Loring Park at one point for a few years,
Yeah. Literally
walking distance from the park, like half a block away.
Oh.
Yeah, it was right there. And there was this one pride in particular. I don't remember what year it was. I think it was like the early 2000s. And there was a lot of folk artist happening. And the big folk artist that I met there was Ellis Delaney, who is a local folk artist of Minneapolis, Minnesota, who was really big then. They are still doing some work. Another one is Krista Wigger, W-I-G-E-R, who is still kind of doing stuff on the net and whatnot, another folk artist. Hattie is the other one, H-A-T-T-I-E. These were three artists that I saw perform at Pride, got their CDs, still got them autographed, you know, went to see them at shows post-Pride.
Nice.
Because that was a big thing then. It was just like, you know, it was about introducing folks, right?
Yeah.
Finding out where they're at and then going and continuing to support them, right?
Yeah.
That was the big thing for me with pride when I was younger was finding the spots. Because for me, it was, what am I going to do in the winter? What am I going to do the rest of the year? Mm. What am I going to check out? Where am I going to go? What do I not know about? What's in the state? I've found out about things throughout the entire state of Minnesota, different hotels, different like bed and breakfasts that were queer owned, you know, kind of quiet on the down low of places you could go to, that type of thing. That's how I would find out about new spots, safer places I could go to be with other queers. And that was my goal when I was younger, when I used to go Pride.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it was a like rainbow book, if you will, to like take from the green book.
Yeah.
So it was like the Minnesota, like you built your own rainbow book in order to go and travel and feel safer as a queer person around the state with partners or lovers, like whatever groups of friends you were going with.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of these places were like private and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. I mean, I came out in 96, my senior year of high school.
Wow.
May of 96, it was right around my birthday. And that was my first Pride. And I walked in my first Pride.
Oh.
In the parade, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was super
wow.
cool. With another classmate of mine, and we came out together in high school. He was a sophomore. I was a senior. We met accidentally because I transferred high schools my senior year. And the high school made me retake all the sophomore classes. So I was in gym class with this guy. Right? And we ended up being really good friends.
Wow. Fun.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been doing Twin Cities Pride for, you said, 31 years.
31 years this year.
You found different artists. You found different community. You've walked in the parade. In after our commercial break, we're going to talk about some of the places that are historic places that you visited, that you remember, and some stories that go with them. I guess my biggest question for you is, How different right now does it feel 31 years later after being a senior in high school and now being a 48-year-old? How different is Pride hitting for you?
I honestly want nothing to do with it anymore.
Oh, that's an interesting answer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate?
Absolutely. I don't feel it's for the love of the people anymore. I don't feel it's people. I feel it's places trying to consume us and trying to use us. And
Ooh.
I've seen it evolve like that over the years. And I feel like a commodity.
Oh, like everybody wants a piece of you.
Everybody wants a piece of me. It's for whether it's my queerness, my brownness, my queer and brownness. Whatever it may be, it's what can they use?
Wow. Okay. Well, we are going to go to a commercial break. You are listening to KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them. Introducing the 2026 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org.
You're right on time. remember the heart is a tender thing. Restless and hopeful, it cries and sings. And sometimes you need shelter and a space to be. A little tough, not tough enough, a little lost at sea. You can try running with a smile, 'cause there is a danger in going too fast. Getting too far ahead can set you back. Right on time, you are right on time, you're right on time.
With KFAI's 24 Hours of Pride. I am here catching up with Dex, and we are talking about Twin Cities Pride and what Dex has witnessed over the last 31 years of living in the Twin Cities, living on Loring Park for a time, being around Loring Park. And Dex, you were telling me earlier that Loring Park has shifted a lot, and actually where the Twin Cities Pride office is currently in 2026, that it used to be a different store. What store do you remember being there that had a lot of significance for you as a younger queer?
Yeah, so I'll just give you a little visual. So where the offices are, there were three significant places there on that run there. First one was Ruby's Cafe, which was a little diner that was a lot of queers went to. Right next to that was Amazon Bookstore, which was a feminist bookstore. We're going to get back to that. That's real important. Joe's Garage was another restaurant that a lot of queers used to go to. Had a really cool rooftop that was kind of sunk in on the top there. And those were three places that were sitting on that block there for a long time. And then, of course, at the end, we have Minneapolis Community and Technical College, which a lot of changes have happened there, too, that have affected things. So those are some important things to know. So thinking mid-90s, right? So when I came out, going to Ruby's and Amazon Bookstore was huge. That's what you did. Amazon Bookstore was my place where I found all my books, my information. It was the shop you can go to find specifically, you know, books specifically for women, for, you know, lesbians, for sapphic love, for, they had jewelry, they had, you know, toys, they had sex information, they had all kinds of things. They had comfy couches to hang out in, they had very sweet staff and just a cozy place. And it was, you know, and, you know, I bought a lot of my first books there, you know, fiction and nonfiction. And it was a very important place for me. And I would go there like weekly and buy books and read through books as I was on the bus to work or school or whatever. The important information that people don't know about this bookstore is the name, Amazon Bookstore.
Yeah. So I mean, if people know that name.
People know know Amazon.
Yeah.
And, but do they know Amazon?
But do they know where it started?
So, yeah, here's the thing that I try to tell people about, and they look at me cross-eyed every time. Yes, Amazon Bookstore. Yes, it was originally their name.
A feminist bookstore. Based in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Correct. So when we hear Amazon now, and you know all the affiliations with that?
Yeah, Daddy Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
so they were taken to court. The name was taken from them. All the things. Yes, they are the original. Their name was taken. It was pulled from underneath them.
Wow. So all of the queers listening right now, here is one more reason to boycott and divest from what we know today as Amazon.
Correct.
Because they put a local feminist bookstore, Amazon Bookstore, out of business.
Correct. Took them to court, stole their name, pulled everything from underneath them.
Wow.
Now, here's an interesting tidbit also. So that happened. They fought for a long time, right? And then they rebranded and opened a new shop called True Colors on Chicago Avenue. It lasted a few years, not very long. You know, that's a really tough transition.
And especially after a court battle.
Yeah. And you know, when those things happen, it's like you can't talk about it. You know, people didn't talk about, you know, just stuff gets shoved under. You don't really know what's going on.
Sure.
So they tried. I went to their new location. I went and saw a bunch of amazing, they would always bring in really awesome authors and have talks and stuff like that and do really cool stuff. And I went there a few times and got books and went to events. And but yeah, they didn't make it.
Wow.
And that's a really important piece of history. And just the fact that, and as we're realizing and as we're seeing, Minneapolis keeps being targeted for a bunch of things. And it has been for a long time. This is not new. George Floyd isn't new. ICE isn't new. Minneapolis being looked at isn't new. This is not new. It's been going on forever for whatever reasons they want to come up with. Hmm. It's not new. And I've seen a lot of these things rip through the city in many different ways. It's all the same stuff, though, really, just with a new face. So I just want people to know that. That's super important.
Yeah.
You know, super important history that people don't talk about. I went to a local bookstore not long ago, and there was someone there having to talk about the importance of independent bookstores. And I said, do you really know all your history, though? And he wrote an entire book about it. And I looked at him, I said, but do you really know your history? Do you really know what happened here in Minneapolis? He did not know that. And I said, you better start doing your research. You better figure out what's going on, because you don't have the whole story.
Wait, so the person wrote a book about independent bookstores and didn't even mention the Amazon bookstore that was the feminist-owned bookstore here in the Twin Cities.
Never heard about it. Didn't know any information about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I pulled him aside and told him, I was like, you need to know your stuff. You don't know everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't trying to, like, you know, I was just like, you need to know, like, as someone who's fighting for independent bookstores, you need to know.
Well, yeah, especially for a woman-owned business that got taken to court by billionaires.
Yeah.
That seems pretty significant for a book about independent bookstores.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
So, you know, and these are some of the markers as to why, I have my views on where things are at with all that stuff now. as far as where Pride has evolved to and the important history that was in, you know, has been in Loring Park for years and years and years. And, you know, there's just been a lot of big things that have happened that have really changed my point of view or just different things. But what I will tell you is things like what we're doing right now, 24 hours of, you know, Pride Radio, that's why this has become such a, like, staple for me the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Because this is my Pride celebration. This is my Pride celebration. I'm literally doing nothing with Pride all weekend. Nothing. I have no interest. This is my celebration. I come on this radio show. I listen to the other people that are on it. I find out what other people are doing. I get to hang with my pal Shimmer, because Shimmer and I don't get as much time together as I would like.
Truth.
You know, so we have these, like, couple of times a year that we know for sure we'll see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We catch up a little bit, but this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is my celebration, my contribution, and this is why I want to continue to have these conversations. Because people need to know, number one, and need to just start asking questions, and I want to encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the biggest things I've done my whole life without even really realizing it. I've always had a really hard time. Folks either, like, and you know, we experience, a lot of us experience this, where, like, either really connect with someone or you're kind of, like, put off by someone. But I've always had really strong reactions from folks, and I didn't really understand why, when sometimes I never even knew them. And I started to realize there was a pattern, and I have this gift, energy, power, whatever you want to call it, where when I see someone, I see someone.
Ooh.
It's dangerous. I didn't know.
That can be really intense.
It can. And so I've always been called that. You're so intense. And I'm like, I'm not trying. I don't even know what you mean. But I also didn't have the guidance. You know, sometimes you grow up with these things and you have the guidance of your parents or elders. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know I was doing it. And so I've always been kind of able to see through people.
Hmm.
And see what's really there, and, like, see their energy, see their soul, see what's really there.
You can see beyond the facade.
Correct. And I pull it out and put it right in front of them. And I didn't do it on purpose per se, but people would be able to tell. And I would see beyond. And a lot of people would take offense or think I was trying to, you know, hurt them. And it wasn't. And some people are either, like, cool with it or not. And you know, it's invasive, especially if you don't know how to manage it.
Sure. And you, so, it sounds like you had a real life lesson on intent versus impact.
Yes.
Of, like, you had this impact on all of these people, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't your intent.
Correct.
And so now, having that reflected back to you, mm-hmm. and having more knowledge and guidance and mm-hmm. wisdom around that, mm-hmm. do you feel like you've been able to shift the way that you approach different people and approach strangers to keep yourself safer?
Oh, yeah. Well, not only me, but them, right? But all of us, right? I'm not trying to, you know. I definitely have, I'm aware of it now.
Mm.
You know, once you become aware of something, you have to make a decision on how you want to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So because I'm aware of it, I try to manage it as best as I can and, you know, try to do things with consent, which is, you know, you can only, right? You do the best you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just try to be aware and try not to do those things without permission,
because
I understand what's going on. Or I just step away, like, okay, wow, you know, like, I'm not trying to, I'm going to be over here, you know. So, and the reason I bring that up is because that's what I want to do with this show.
Yeah.
I want to just bring things to the surface and pop out stuff and do it in a consensual way. And the reason this is consensual is because you get to decide whether you want to interact with it or not.
Ooh.
I'm not telling you. I'm putting it out there. You can turn off the radio.
Yeah.
You could shut me down. You could say no.
You can change the channel.
You could change the channel. You could do whatever, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I decided to do it this way.
Oh.
Because I still get to put things out there.
Mm-hmm.
You get to decide what you want to do with it, if anything, or even pay attention.
Yeah.
It's then there's more consent involved.
Totally.
And I still get to put out the information of what I see.
Of what you see, of what you feel, of what you've experienced, what you've witnessed.
Exactly. And do what with it what you will. Your decision.
So that really feels like the take what works for you and leave the rest behind.
Absolutely.
How Buddhist of you.
Well, it's helped me to get here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, we've all got spiritual practices. We are
yep.
spiritual, physical, sexual beings. There yep. is a multitude to all of us.
Mm.
Dex, did you have another song in mind that you wanted to share before? I mean, we've only got 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I know that you are really a big fan of different genres of music. We already yeah. heard some folk music yeah. from you. And then I think you shared with Shimmer another artist that you really enjoy.
Oh, yeah. So Bowie, David Bowie, has always been a big person for me. And I think I've put him on every year I've been on. And so we're going to do another song by him, Modern Love, because, hey, you know, there's many different ways to love. So here we go.
I know when to go out, know when to stay in, get things done.
programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them. Introducing the 2026 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org.
Welcome back. We are on 24 Hours of Pride here at KFAI 90.3 FM. We are Fresh Air Community Radio, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio. My name is Lark, and tonight I am here with Dex. We have been catching up with Dex. This is his third year on 24 Hours of Pride here at KFAI. And he has been telling us stories about watching Pride over the Twin Cities for the last 31 years. And he has decided that from his explorations and learnings and conversations that he's doing more of like radio work, podcasting work, talking, storytelling, and really using his voice to get information out there. So Dex, I want to know, what are the next steps for you that you see for this like auditory deliciousness that's coming from you?
Yeah. Honestly, it's the technical stuff at this point. I have a lot of content. I have quite a few interviews and conversations, and at this point, I am actually working with all kinds of folks that I'm getting services from to help me learn how to do editing. And I've been getting lessons from different art institutions around the city to help me out with that, giving me services. So just working on that. One of the biggest pieces for me is I have never been a huge social media person. I mean, I technically do have handles, but I don't really interact with it a ton. And so that's not how you find me. And I've said this year after year that I've been on here is that I've always been a word of mouth, all the things. But I do technically have a website. It's stylebydex.com. And you can reach me there. You can leave me messages. I will respond. And what you will find on that website currently is my styling services. But don't hesitate. Don't think that's all. You can reach out to me in that way for anything. So if you have questions about the podcast, if you have maybe want to have a conversation with me or get on the podcast or have some really cool history that I should know about that I don't know about or want to be a part of any of this, please feel free to reach out. stylebydex.com. You can go and leave a message there for me, and I will respond to you, and happy to do so. And because we can't do this alone, I don't know everything. I know my point of view. I know my experience, right? And I never claim to speak for everybody, and I never claim to whatever. This is just me, and this is not all about me. So I want others to engage as well and bring on their stories and bring on their information as well.
Yeah. So what I've heard from you today is that you want to leave an ember. You want to leave a spark. You want to have a passerby maybe hear something and be like, oh, I can go deeper with this. And if people are feeling inclined, they can reach out to you at stylebydex.com, stylebydex.com. And you are open to collaborations is what I'm hearing.
Always. Always. Yeah, and a lot of us do this. You know, it's like the other day I went to this event in my neighborhood, and the person who actually did the event was kind of heading it. It was like her little baby, her idea. And she was walking around, you know, interacting with everyone. And I had talked to someone and I said, you know, who's doing this event, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, it's that person over there. And he checked in with me later and said, hey, did you go talk to her? And I'm like, no. You know, it was just like, you know, I get shy. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, we accidentally put people on pedestals or think they don't want to talk to us. You know, we do that all the time. And then it's like we forget we're all human, right? Mm. Like, this is just my contribution to the world. Like, you know, like, there's that saying, you like, never meet your heroes. And it's like, yes and no. And the reason I say that is because it's like, we're all human. Like, I still do dishes and wash my laundry. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm human, right?
Yeah.
And like, just because I'm comfortable doing this work and it's my thing, this is just my thing. This is just my passion, right? But it doesn't mean I'm not a human. It doesn't, like, go out and have a coffee with someone or have a conversation with someone, or I'm not a regular person. And if I think beyond that, then I'm not being real. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just a person. Like, I want you to come up to me and be like, hey, are you that guy? I heard, yeah, do it. You know? Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. I'm not going to shut you down. I might say, hey, you know what? I'm a little tired right now. I need to check in with you later. Because I am a disabled person. I have only so much energy.
Totally.
So I'm going to be real with you about that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I'm going to shut you down and be like, don't talk to me. I'm too big. I'm too, you know, big for you. Mm-mm. I'm a community member like everybody else in this place. I'm no different.
Yeah.
So this is just what I want to do. This is how I want to contribute.
So do people have to be within a certain age range to reach out to you?
That's a great question. I haven't really thought about that.
Mm.
I don't feel like it needs to be. However, I would say if you're underage, I want an adult with you.
Yeah.
You know, for
safety and boundaries.
Safety and boundaries. Absolutely. But I want to hear from the youth, the kid. Hello. Everyone has their experiences.
Yeah.
You know, everyone needs to talk about their stuff.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So.
I love that. Well, and your work has been intergenerational. Dining with Dex was intergenerational.
Yes.
You've been talking intergenerationally to different people about your book.
Mm-hmm.
And now it sounds like this is also something that's intergenerational. And I have heard you talk about how the young men that are in the neighborhood or at events or at different events are drawn to you. And that is something that, like, you can relate to and have always been able to relate to as, like, that piece of, like, masculinity or understanding how boys may feel differently about interpersonal connections.
I'm really glad you brought that up. That's something that's, yes. Even before I started taking hormones, with my clothing work, there was always the younger folks, like, you know, like the high school guys that would come in getting their suits for the first time or learning how to dress for the first time. And they were always very comfortable and drawn to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even before, like, I started, like, transitioning and having this different energy about me, they were always, like, comfortable. They're like, you know, and I would just be like, hey, you know, let me just take care of you and we're gonna be okay and it's cool. And so there's always been this, like, comfort. And that I'm not being condescending and that we're just kind of hanging out as friends, you know, and just kind of like on the same page. Mm. Comfort level of just like boosting each other up. You know, and that's really a big thing for me. It's just about really lifting each other up.
Yeah.
Helping each other get to the next level, helping, you know, encouraging each other to try things and to make mistakes and keep doing it and keep doing it and, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrating the success.
Well, and our youth do that day in and day out as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like adults do not give them the credit that they deserve because they don't necessarily see the trials and tribulations that young people are going through on the regular, especially because a lot of it even happens on a phone screen.
Legit.
And so I feel like young people today are especially discounted by adults. So that's really great that you have a special place that, like, you can level with them and see them as just another human who you have something to learn from and that you have something to share. So that feels really, really special too, as in, like, intergenerational. Now queer elder. I mean, are you a queer elder now that you're 48?
I guess. I mean, I don't feel old enough, but I experience-wise, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I got called auntie for the first time last year, and I was like, oh, Oh, I guess that's real. I guess I am getting up there, aren't I?
I mean, that's a compliment, really.
It is a compliment. I will be an auntie all day long. Come on, right. My indigiqueers, let's go. I'm totally here for it.
Yeah.
So, well, Dex, we were going to leave with a song. Is there, like, any final thought that you want to share with your 24 Hours of Pride segment?
I'm just excited to be here again. Thank you, Shimmer. Appreciate it again. And just, folks, go to stylebydex.com. Drop me a message about anything. Look there for any new things about book, podcast, whatever I'm doing next. Updates will be there. And even if you don't see the updates and you're curious, write me a note. Dex, what the heck is going on? Send me an encouragement note or, you know, hey, what's up? You know, whatever. I I'm human too. I need to be poked and prodded and things like that too, right? We all need to do that for each other. Mm-hmm. So if you're like curious, like, hey, is anything coming out soon? Great. Send me a message. What's going on? I would love to, you know that people are interested.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to send. So stylebydex.com. Please feel free to drop a note and look at my website. And we're going out. Who are we going out? Oh, Tina and the B-Sides. Let me tell you a quick story about that. Another person I saw at Pride. Woo, another local artist. And actually, Tina's performing soon. Yes, doing a whole thing, a whole Gen X thing. But anyway, coming up here in the next few weeks. So Tina and the B-Sides, I saw them. Had a really good dance party with it in the park one year. Just moved my heart. It was super great. Anyways, so we're just going out with a little bit of Tina.
All right, we're going to go ahead and close out with Tina and the B-Sides with Pretty Young Ones. Thanks so much to Dex and Lark for catching up with Dex. Stay tuned. We got Fresh Fruit coming up next with the shamazing Alfred Walking Bull, Malcolm, and Comrade Tom. And also, we are still in the 24 hours of programming of Pride right here on KFEI. We have Salud y Sabrosura coming up at 8 p.m., Party with Ellie at 9, Roar of the Underground with Haydwitch, Queers and Electronic and Experimental Music with Dixie. We have Across the Board with the DJ SLT at 2 a.m. and our unofficial after party tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with Lost in the Groove on the AM Drive with Jason Buckland. All right, let's close out with Tina and the B-Sides with Pretty Young Ones right here on KVI. Stay tuned. Fresh Fruit is up next. Peace. Forget their past, to forget.